And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio, Michael here at DetroitLions.com, talking Lions football. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Kenny Brown. Are you sure there's more to talk about?
Well, this is it, though. This is pretty much the wrap-up of the pre-preseason. I call it the pre-preseason because anything after this now is a prelude to training camp. So this was the last week where some of the players, mostly rookies, a couple of veterans, got together with the coaches. And pretty much, I guess what you say, this is probably pretty much cleanup for a few little things before they all adjourn for camp in July. But we got to talk to the coaches this week, which was interesting. That was some news that came out of that. So it was a week for the press to talk.
Yeah, but it's sort of like low-key, really, I think. But it was good, you know, and I talked to four or five guys that I probably couldn't have gotten to, you know, otherwise. So, you know, it's just me on a personal level. I didn't write about all of them, but it was interesting. And you know, I just get the feeling, and I don't think they would see this, come out and see us, but I just have the feeling that the Detroit Lions, the staff, the front office, and ownership, of course, I think they've got a pretty good young team that can do something. Now, they got to do it, but I think they feel good about what they have.
You know what the best thing to me that came out of this whole pre-preseason up to this week?
The last 2 days?
No, the whole off-season process up to now. The best thing that has come out of this.
Let me guess. No injury?
No injuries. That's as long as you can make it out of here with no injuries, that is number one uno. Get out without injuries. I think Montgomery was hurt. He didn't really participate toward the end.
Just
minor stuff, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. Because I was looking the other day, somebody tore an ACL. They're going to be out for the season.
Yep.
So, you know, these things happen sometime, and you got away with that. You pretty much came out of it healthy. That's number uno. Secondly,
I agree. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just to add to what you said, the only player loss was self-inflicted, according to the NFL rules that we could talk about another time, is Williams.
And that was done before offseason even started.
Right.
So,
right.
And we can go all day like
Jameson
we did before on that, the Jameson and how unfair to me after hearing what it was, if that's true. About betting on a football game in a hotel. If that's true, then I'm really upset about it. But it's the rules, and you know the rules, and you gotta abide by them, even though I think the rules should be changed. I would like to see them appeal that. And in fairness, the NFL should knock that down to 3 games.
Well, you know, the NFL is the one that you know, this. I don't think this is a team suspension. I think it's a league suspension, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as they go along, they'll – The National Football League. I mean, National Football League does react to things. It really does, and I think they'll react to this and lighten it a little bit. That's just my opinion, based on nothing.
Right.
Based on absolutely nothing.
Right, and I think prior behavior should count. And I don't know if I never heard about any appeals, but if the NFL came out, which they probably won't do for whatever reason, because they didn't. Ridley didn't get his appeal last year. I don't know if he appealed at all, but he got the full year. I would knock that in half. I think 3 games, and now you learned your lesson, and I think everybody in the league understands now, and you didn't bet on football or pro football, so that'd be fair. But, you know, whatever happens, happens. Now, speaking of the suspension, I'm glad you brought that up. There are a couple of things that I am still queasy about going into the training camp, and the wide receiver room is one of them. I just think without Williams there, you're pretty much – you can't – sustain an injury, and that's why I think that they should try to think about adding Hopkins.
D-Hop?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how much money he wants or how much money he gets. I wouldn't break the bank for him or even come close to it, but I think obviously he's a good player, and he does what quarterbacks and coaches love, and that's catch the ball, hang on to it. I've heard the phrase used that he has a 1% drop rate. I didn't look it up. I'll take their word for it. And if it's 2%, that's still good. Okay, why, you know, let's not split hairs there. But I agree with you. But is he the player that he was? No. But he's a player that would really fill a spot for the Detroit Lions.
I think after the initial first week he was released and you didn't see this big onslaught of teams going after him, that the price is pretty much going to settle in. Now, I don't think he's going to be – I don't see a lot of teams, you know, after him. I see two or three. But for somebody right. like D-Hop, when he first got released, remember it was like, oh, my good, you have to sign him by Monday or you won't get a chance at him. He's still out there.
And not just that, but it's I don't know if he came out and said this or not, or he sent out his wish list, but all of a sudden out comes the players he'd like to play with, the coaches he'd like to play with, the teams he'd prefer to play with. The one team that I did not see mentioned that I think eventually is going to be mentioned, and that's anybody. We're going to get down to anybody. And there's no knock against him because it's a lot of this is in the team's hands too.
Yeah,
they've got their teams that they've been working on, and all of a sudden it's June 2nd. Okay, let's tear up the wide receiver room to bring him in.
Yeah, for a guy who doesn't like to practice. This is supposedly from what they say.
Right,
doesn't like to practice. Can be kind of moody when you're not winning.
Right.
You know, and is 30 over 31 now? 30, 31. He's
somewhere
up there in years.
Range, 31, I think.
He's good still, but not what he was. I mean, how much are you going to pay for that? That's what I'm saying. It may come to a point. You know who this reminds – what signing this reminds me of when he does
take
sign?
Another guess.
This was a Lions signing of years ago.
Oh, I don't know. And,
when Anquan Bowden was out there. Remember, oh, my God, he's going to
–
20 teams are going to be looking out for him and blah, blah, blah. And then it got a little longer. Next thing you know, signs with the Lions.
Well, I think it was 3-4 weeks in advance, though, that the word was out that he was coming to Detroit. He wasn't going to take part in the offseason program, which is okay because he's got his own program that's as tough as anybody – and as tough as anybody's or any team's. And sure enough, the day before training camp or 2 days before training camp opened, he was at the podium in Detroit, and he was an asset for that team.
Right,
he really was.
Right, right. He had a good year for him, but that's kind of remind me of who Hopkins is now, a guy that's going to take it up to training camp. He may sign next week after I say this, but it's going to be one of those one-year deals, and you know he'll get production out of him.
The 1 year with maybe an option for a second year,
but nobody's – I don't think there's any players left out there now that people are clamoring for. I mean, most teams went to their training camps or went to their summer camp seeing what they had, and you know if an injury or something happened and they look for these guys, but the Teddy Bridgewaters, the Carson Wentzes, and those guys are just gonna have to wait around because you know right now teams are just saying we'll go with what we got.
Well, and here's another thing too, when you talked about injuries and all that, Teddy Bridgewater and whoever else you're talking about, you know, high profile quarterback, I don't consider Teddy Bridgewater high profile, but he's certainly well known, is nobody's going to get injured between now and July 15th or 18th or 20th. So you're going to be sitting for another 6 weeks, I think, if that's what you're waiting for somebody to get hurt, because it's, after today, all that stuff's over.
Yeah, that can be a long waiting game too, man. That can be a long waiting game.
But, you know, but those guys have made good money. The thing for them really is a chance to play. I think they've taken pretty, you know, those guys have made pretty good dough in their careers, so it's a little bit different from that regard. It's not like they're going to go broke if they don't play this year.
No, but you like being around a team.
Absolutely.
And you want to play football, and just the atmosphere of being on a team and playing football is worth, you know, the money or the, you know, smaller portions of money they'll be getting. And like you said, they made enough money that they can take a contract like that. But, you know, being a starting NFL quarterback or a quarterback in the NFL, man, that's not a bad job. And, you know, you want to do it as long as you can.
Right. Hey, Ken, now, let me just – one thing that – I'm going to turn this upside down and ask me to guess of the one player you'd go after. Which player do you think I would go after now? And he's eminently available.
And go ahead.
Fresh, too.
I want to hear this.
You're not even going to guess.
Give me an offense or defense.
Defense.
Ndamukong Suh.
Bingo! Yes. yes, of course, I'm a big Suh fan. I really am.
Yeah, but the thing about Suh, and he said it himself, you don't even look for me at training camp.
Right.
So, he's not even going to be around to the end.
13 years in the National Football League, and he never missed a game because of injury. Not one.
No. But he's going to sit around and wait until... And
he's
going to see
gonna
what the team is, too. He's not going to go to a team that doesn't have a chance to win at all. So that's another thing. He's going to wait and see.
Might be it, and you know what? Detroit might be the just the place to put a cap on his career. Because it's his 14th year. It's where he started. And look, if he'd have stayed in Detroit another 3-4 years, we'd be talking about Hall of Fame right now because that's how he was playing. He never played that well again. Never. Not on a sustained period of time.
No. And that's one of the things I think he'll regret in the long run, because you can say, well, he took the money, but he would have got the money here too. He may not have got all of it, but he'd have got most of it or made it up in other ways. If you stick with the one team, you're the leader of the defense, it's your team, you know, you can make your career, make your name. Now when you think of Sue, he's just a vagabond. He was here, he was there,
sort of.
He was here, he was there.
A vagabond at a very high level.
Yeah, I'm not using vagabond, to besmirch him. I'm just saying, when the NFL film comes up of your career, you know, you got five or six different uniforms in the highlight package. You know, it's just not. Like Jerry Rice, I saw a thing on Jerry Rice, and I know I'm digressing, but I saw a thing on Jerry Rice the other night, and they were showing his highlights or whatever. And then I had no idea. They showed him in a Bronco uniform, and I'm like, the Broncos? When the hell? He didn't play for me, but he went through training camp with him and didn't make the team out. But he's got a Bronco uniform on. He's got a Raider uniform on. He's got a Seattle Seahawk uniform. I'm like, man. And he spent, you know, 9/10 of his career in one town. So I'm just saying, even then, you see all these different uniforms. You know, when you see Sue uniforms with Miami and highlights, and then you'll see the Ram uniform and the Tampa uniform and the Philly uniform. You know, it just dilutes your greatness.
Well, John Unitas, I ended up in the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, but you never see that uniform. You never see highlights from that one. You never see highlights from that year. Because it's just, what was he out there, just 1 year?
Part of 1 year.
Yeah, if you don't see Johnny Unitas in a Colt uniform, you don't see him. You know, you just don't see him.
Let me just add one other thing about Ndamukong Suh, too. One thing he liked at all levels was to win. And he wants to get what he wants. And he got started right with his first contract with the Detroit Lions. He signed and reported, but he wanted a 5-year deal. He didn't want six. He didn't want the option. And he got that, and that's what got him out of Detroit. If he'd had the same contract other rookies had had, he wouldn't have been out of there that soon, I don't think.
Probably.
And the Lions, look, and this is Ford called him and talked to him. And he had everything he wanted, including ownership back then, you know, showing how much they wanted him to play in Detroit, and he chose Miami. And you know what? He was never regarded, I don't think, as the same player. Now, just flip one around.
Hold on. We're making the Ndamukong Suh hour now. You about to run down the whole career now. Okay, let's get back to the Lions. Let's move off of Suh until he sides with somebody.
Well, he was a 5-year player in Nebraska. He was, by the way. Anyway.
I'm gonna give Mike going. He'll be on. He'll be giving me Suh highlights from him and Numb Sue's sister doing something. So we'll get back to that.
Okay.
Couple other things for the Lions, though. The defensive backfield to me is going to be a strength as opposed to a weakness of last year. They talked to the D-back coach Dre Bly. They talked to the new running back coach and the new D-line coach. I was impressed with
Scotty
all
Montgomery,
of them. Yeah,
yeah,
I was impressed with all three of them. Well, I always been impressed with Dre Bly because Dre was my guy back when he was playing. But Dr. Dre. I was impressed with the business-like attitude that they're going through this with. The D-line coach was the one I was worried about. When you bring college guys into the pros, and I asked Aaron Glenn about that at the press conference we had a couple of weeks ago. I asked him personally about the D-line coach, and his thing was, you know, Aaron Glenn is so grim when he gives you an answer. You don't know if he's mad at you or he's yelling at you, or just the way he is. He says, they will perform the way I want my defense to run. I said, I didn't ask you that. I just asked you, what do you think about the new D-line coach? And is there techniques he's going to be teaching that are different than, you know, the old defensive line coaches? They will run the defense that I want them to run. Okay. So,
well, let me just add one thing to what you said already, but about the secondary, Kenny. You know, one of the coaches I talked to was Mark Brunell, the quarterback's coach. And look, he spent 18 years as a quarterback in the National Football League. He looks at football through a quarterback's eyes. And the one thing I wanted to ask him was, and I wasn't the only one, by the way, this was a group interview, so I'm not claiming that I, you know, broke some big story or anything like that. But I asked him what what it was like practicing against that secondary. He said it was a lot tougher this year. And he said it was a fun spring, really was. So that's the quarterback's coach talking about the secondary, his team's secondary, and how improved they were over a year ago.
Yeah. And well, since you brought up the quarterback coach and quarterbacks, I'm still skeptical of the backup quarterback, even though our quarterback did have a decent, Nate Sudfeld, a decent camp up to now.
Yeah,
I still putting that as a question mark. And I'm curious to when Hendon Hooker is going to be available. And not to be the backup and play this year, but to be on the roster and practice, which I would like to see him get some practice time in this year. So I'm wondering.
This year. Yeah, the only time I think you'll see him get practice time is when he gets on the PUP list at whatever time that is, and he's got 3 weeks to make a decision. I think they will use that. This is my opinion, once again, based on nothing except my own opinion. But I think they will use those 3 weeks that you're allowed to have to decide if you're going to activate the player. And that's what I think when you'll see him. Now, I could be completely wrong on that. It could be earlier, and it could be never.
Yeah.
When I say never, I mean never this year.
Yeah.
But I think they will use those 3 weeks.
Yeah. But like I said, as a quarterback.
If the rule is still the same as it always been. I'm assuming that, too.
Yeah. But as a quarterback, if you're not getting hit every play and you're just practicing, I can see him getting cleared during training camp and just be the number three and the emergency guy. Not emergency guy, but be the guy that's inactive every week, but just have him out there so he can practice. I watched him at the end of the practices this week or last week when I was out there. And he's not that far away moving around-wise to me. And I don't know about the technical part of it, but there's people that have come back from ACLs in 8 months, 6 months. You know, Adrian Peterson came back in 8 months. So it's possible, but that's the thing I would look at because I would like to see him get some practice time in this year just for his development.
I just want to see him play. That's all.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to see him play. That's why I would love. That's my basic
play,
thing. But yeah, but I'd like to see him be out there on the practice field.
And Mark, he spoke very, 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 very highly of him. Very, very highly of him.
Yeah,
quarterbacks coach, very highly.
And on the defensive line and offensive line, you really can't know anything until they start hitting with the pads. So I still want to see the defensive line in pads, Broderick Martin, the third-round pick in pads. I want to see the Sorsdale, the offensive guard they drafted in pads. And just to get Big V and the other guys up to speed on how far they are, that will be the training camp thing to me when they start hitting. And don't they only have like 14 padded practices or something the whole year?
Something like that.
Crazy number that it's a low number now, so you can't beat them to death like you used to. So those padded practices will be important.
Back in the old days, those 14 padded practices would have been used up after 7 days of double sessions.
Yeah.
In training camp. Yeah.
They don't even do double sessions anymore. Do at least one of them's a walkthrough when they do. They don't do doubles like they used to. And
no.
Beat you out
in
the sun and don't get you water and everything. I mean, all that stuff is over with, man. These guys, they come into camp in shape, they get in better shape, and then they go play. So.
Right.
So who is your standout, Mike?
My standout?
Standout player. So far. That you've seen that really caught your eye?
I think there were two guys who really, really stood out for different reasons. One was Kirby Joseph, the second-year safety. I really liked the energy and getting to the ball and all that. I liked that. And I'll take the running back, Jamar Gibbs. Yeah, he just because it's a position I think they've upgraded with him and David Montgomery. And just those two. But now, you could give me five more, and I wouldn't argue with you.
All right. I know this is crazy.
Oh, boy.
And I know that you will come back to haunt me with this.
Let me sit down. Go ahead.
The person that my eyes went to every time I was out there in the last month.
Offense or defense?
Offense.
Go ahead.
Sam LaPorta.
Couldn't disagree.
My eyes went to him every practice I saw. My eyes went to him on something he did. And like I said, he may go out like Herman Moore and catch 11 balls his first year. I don't know. But I'm just telling you what I saw.
Herman would have caught more than 11 if they'd have thrown him more than 11.
Yeah, I'm just giving an example of the number of catches I saw.
Right.
And I don't know how many catches the Porter's going to get, so that's another reason. But I just feel that coming into training camp, he's caught my eye. And I'm a guy who thought Hockenson was a very good player and a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, well, look, he's, you know, 4 years, three Pro Bowls, and could have been in a fourth if the season had ended early. But I think this player's – I think Laporta – look, I like Hockenson. That's no big secret. But Laporta, to me, a little smoother, a little quicker than Hockenson.
Doesn't catch the ball and go down. When he catches the ball, he runs through it and goes.
Let's wait until they start hitting.
Yeah, but when I saw Hockenson in practice during these same periods, he was do the same thing. He catch the ball and he go down. He wasn't a run after catch guy like this kid is. This guy's catching the ball like, you know, in strides. He's not
He had a 50 yard catch for the week before he was traded. So
I'm not saying I'm just talking about in training camp their first year. I'm going back to when I saw both, because I saw both of them when they came in. I saw Pettigrew, his first training camp, too. I saw all the Titans, Ebron's first training camp, and Ebron got no better from that first training camp to the time he left.
One thing about Pettigrew now, let's keep one in mind. He had a three-year window there where he caught 210 passes, had 210 receptions. He's one of the most underrated players the Detroit Lions have had.
I don't think he was underrated. I think he was rated. I think he was a good player. Everybody knew
him. I do, too, but a lot of people didn't. A lot of people, you know, decided he was – sort of the joke, and they joke about him.
Yeah, but I think he just came in when the tight ends were going to the speed tight ends, and that wasn't his game, the speed part. But everything else he had, he could catch the ball. He caught a lot of balls. He was big. He could block. It was just that they were transitioning to more of the, the smaller tight ends and everything. And that's why they got mad at him. People, you know, fans got mad at him. But he was very good tight end. He just had those ACLs, and he got hurt again.
6'5", 6'6", whatever, paid 250, 260, played hard and black.
Perfect guy.
And one thing you said about Laporta, I agree with you. Look, your eyes went to him at every practice. Just he make catches over the middle, and he was gone with movement, you know, and with ability and good clean hands and all of that. But two things about him is number one, I think he might be filling that third or fourth wide receiver a position that they don't really have right now, and do that as a tight end with movement and good hands. The other part of it is I just see 6'3". That's a little bit undersized for a tight end. Now, that doesn't disqualify him from being good, but I think he'd want somebody a little bit bigger. That's all.
No, there you go. Well, we'll see how it works out.
But I like him. I like him a lot.
See how it works out. And the only bad part of it is the two people, or two of the three people that we stood out were a rookie. So that part is not troublesome.
Well, 'cause
they're
new, Kenny.
Just standing out and being, intricate parts, you hate to depend on rookies. And sometimes you get them and they can perform, and sometimes they need time. You don't want to rush them, but you got to play the best players. And right now they're amongst the best front I see out there. So you're going to play them.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all, but let's keep in mind that those three veterans they signed in the secondary those guys are going to really make the biggest difference. Period. You know, they really are.
Yeah. The D-back
as a unit, if they get a
better pass rush or the same type pass rush as last year, they'll be even better. You know, we're seeing them without the rush going. We're just seeing them strictly in there. You know, in their zones and in their man-to-mans right now without pass rush. Just wait when the pass rush starts, when quarterbacks start throwing, errant balls up there. They really should turn out then.
Wait till they start throwing off their back foot, back pedal. It'll change things, believe me.
All right, well, that's going to be our wrap. We're not going to do another one until probably training camp. We're going to take the next few weeks off. Unless something happens. Something big happens, we'll come back and we'll do something with it. But otherwise, we're going to take a little break here from the Detroit Lions podcast. So you guys can get ready for a training camp. It's going to be a fun season, I think. Go to Pistons for a while. Go see who they take. Go Red Wings. Try to go see a Tiger game. So do something during that time. Well, go see something during that time.
And Biggie's hitting again.
That's right. And then we'll rejoin back. Hopefully the Lions will not be on Hard Knocks. I've been seeing this thing today where nobody wants to do it, and people are clamoring for the Lions to do it again. Don't go back for the seconds. You had a good run. Let somebody else do it.
Well, see what happens when you're good, though. You have a good year, a pretty good year, 9-8, and you were good at Hard Knocks. 2-2.
There you go. All right, well, that's Michael Hare at DetroitLions.com. Check him out on Michael Hare. When will the Inside the Den come out? We're still waiting for the draft edition. Every other team has put theirs out. That Lions have not yet, so let's get on that.
It's a great question to ask. I think I'll have to get into
that. Well, check to DetroitLions.com on their website with Mike's columns and see when it comes out. I'll be waiting. We're on WGR Radio. We'll be having Frank Ragnow again this year every Monday. So,
oh, great.
That can be announced now, so be ready for that. And
hey, let's add one thing to that. He was in practice there the last practice day.
Yeah, they're just going to manage him.
With the offensive line.
Yeah, they're just going to manage him.
Just manage him.
Just going to manage him. All right, Mike, that's it. That's it for the Cannon Podcast, and we're out.